Well, you can break out your Bibles, the scripture will be on there. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture today. And we're taking a pause from the favorite verses to do a Christmas series. And then New Year's Eve will be on a Sunday also. So afterwards, we're going to kind of do a fellowship meal and play games and stuff like that. And we'll do some stuff like that. And then after New Year's, we'll get back into the favorite verses. So some of you still got some to go, and so I got, that's all the way to March, so we'll see what happens there. This Christmas series, we're going to do, obviously it's on Christmas, and we're going to do look at a lot of different angles. A lot of us are really familiar with the Christmas story. When Heather and I left Bass Chapel as youth ministers to go to seminary in Fort Worth, after seminary in Fort Worth, we went to a small town in Arkansas called Hazen, Arkansas, and it's the real Arkansas everybody teases about. I had mentioned there was one girl in our youth group, I swear her family tree went in a circle. We won't get into that. But anyway, getting used to those traditions, this was the duck hunting capital. The world was right around there. It was about 45 minutes from Little Rock. We were in the south. And it's like, so we're getting used to all the different customs and stuff like that. And my goodness, I just remember when Christmas time came around, there were so many invitations to go to tons of different Christmas things. Now, all of you, I feel the way people are in life now. I know we do a lot in the holidays, but most people try to do less in a way, and I feel there's less invitations now. But a lot of times you get those invitations to Christmas things or parties that are going up, and some of them are exciting, and some of them, honestly, you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. Okay, oh, did Pastor say that? Okay, like maybe coming to our house next Sunday or whenever that, not the next Sunday, but on the 10th. And that's okay if you don't come. It's just more food for me to eat for the rest of the holidays. So, hey, especially sweets. But no, but so many times Christmas is a time of invitations. And we're going to talk about the greatest invitation, but a lot of times when you get that list of Christmas things and you start calendaring and then you get to that thing where you have three things in one day and all that kind of stuff. You need to know you're going to accept it. You have to plan for it. And nobody just outright says, I'm not going unless you have something else to do or you try to figure out a way to get out of it. But let's talk about the greatest invitation. And that's what Christmas is about. It's the most important invitation you'll have in your life. And that's become a part of the family of God, and that's what Christmas is about. And you can choose to say no to the invitation. God's not going to make you go. He's not going to make you accept a relationship with Him and freedom from hell and punishment and eternal suffering. But this is the greatest invitation we're dealing with at Christmas. Or you can say yes to the invitation, and your action step today is obey. Say yes to Christ's invitation. Now, a lot of you have done that, so he's inviting you to do other things, too, as you grow in Christian life. And your points are going to spell out the word obey today. But obey, say yes to Christ's invitation. So we're going to look at how all the different people that are involved in the Christmas narrative responded to God's invitation to be a part of this first Christmas. And so we're going to look at who's invited and who came and who came when Christ came. And so the first coming of Christ, John 1:5 says this, the light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. John talks about that Jesus is the light. We talk about Him being the light of the world. And what we need to understand, since Genesis chapter 3, when man decided to sin, and God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, and we're having to deal with the curse of sin in life, and it affects everything, God began moving in Genesis for this invitation. And so, centuries of darkness, spiritually. And now we're in the New Testament, and now it's time to answer that invitation. Christ is coming. And so, the darkness, the fall, lost, we were hopeless. Christ answered the call. They said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. We don't know Christ. When we did know Christ, we were lost. And some people take that negatively, but we didn't know where we're going. We're in darkness, and we need the light of Christ to show us the way. And so when you look out, I had this memorized at one time, but obviously I don't now. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of scripture, but it's okay. We need to get Christmas up. A lot of us get everything out here, but this is a good ornament of scripture that we need to look at. Luke 2, verses 1 and 7 says, and in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem because he was of the house of David, the line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Okay, sorry, not today. While they were there, there's a lot of engagement, a whole different thing here, okay? While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then when she gave birth to her firstborn son, she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. Lord, I pray today as we look at this, and we look at who we're invited and how they answer, that we see where we're at and the things you're inviting us to, and we say yes. And we see those people that we need to invite to a relationship, and then we say yes to talking to them. I ask this in your name, Jesus, amen. This is the finished part. This is what happens. And boy, it looks good, and a lot of us read this section. But what we're going to look at today is, is this like a Hallmark movie? I was listening to my mom and dad, and my mom's like, Dad can't get to the Hallmark Channel. I'm looking at the smirk on Dad's face, knowing that he's going past the Hallmark Channel to the Western Channel, okay? And you ladies like the Hallmark Channel, okay? All those men could write those stories, you know, these guys that were separated at high school, guy and girl separated at high school or whatever, and then one comes back for something, and there's some tragedy, and they get locked into something and help each other out, and they end up together. Sorry if I ruined that for you. I'm going to watch the Doctor Who 60th anniversary special tonight, so I care less what you got going on. But anyway, so what we're seeing here, Luke 2, I know I insulted everybody here. You're not coming and giving me more cookies at my house. Whatever. But Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, is the Hallmark story with the Hallmark ending. Yeah, okay? All these people were invited to this story. So let's look at the young and the restless, no, the young and the poor, Mary's invitation. Luke 1, verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Okay, so what you have here is Mary. If we were doing this today, Mary's house was pretty close to where Bucky's is coming in on the 11th, okay? Yeah, I know when that's going to be. That's going to be my new office. If you're looking for me around here, I'll be at Bucky's, okay? But anyway, so you get lost in there. But anyway, so Galilee was basically like was the place to get to somewhere else. It was like the truck stop, okay? And so you had caravans, you had Roman soldiers. And anybody from Galilee wasn't considered like they were high caliber or something like that. And so you've got Mary that is in kind of a poor and nameless place. And then she's a virgin, so she had never had relations with any man, okay? And then she's engaged, and that engagement is different. That was a time where, you know, the fiance would, like Joseph, would come and make negotiations with the family, and when he had a place, which a lot of us would love this, when Jesus talks about he's going to prepare a place for us, what would happen is the mansion, they would add on rooms to the house, and so you'd be living all the family together, which sounds familiar to my life right now. But here's the deal. So Joseph was going to prepare the place. And so that could take a year or whatever to get the money together. And so legally, in all ways, they were married. Except they haven't been together physically. And so, You got this poor girl that's living outside of Bucky's at the truck stop or whatever, and everybody's going through there. And then she's nothing, nobody knows her, and I'm not trying to insult the Catholics, because if one of the Catholics wouldn't be here, but there's nothing special about Mary other than we'll see how she answers this invitation. There's nothing special about Israel other than the fact that they answered the invitation. We're all sinners. And if you look at the word favor, that means God's grace is upon you. And the only reason I'm standing here is because of God's grace. And so you got this teenage girl, and an angel visits her and tells her she's going to bear the Son of God. So, the young and the poor. Notice her response in Luke 1, verses 34 through 38. Mary asks the angel, "How could this be since I have not had sexual relations with the man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of who it was called childless. For nothing is impossible with God." And so now we see Mary's response. "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. I want you to really understand what's happening here. We might think, oh, this is great. That Mary's going to do this. It's the right thing. We all benefit. But Mary is literally a young person that is literally taking her life and saying, people can kill me. Because for a woman to be unmarried and to be pregnant and to be engaged, and it's not Joseph's, she's potentially looking at being stoned to death. And it wasn't the fact of picking up a pebble. We've mentioned this before. What they did is they take a person to a cliff, throw them off, and take huge pieces of the road, which were made out of stone, and throw it on the person. Wow. So she didn't even pause here. She asked one question, how can this be? Because I've tried to honor God and not have relations with a man until I'm married. And that's God's design. That's a whole other sermon. Okay? But her response we see in verse 38. "See, I'm the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. She knew who she was. I'm the Lord's servant. A lot of you have received Christ, and guess what? You're the Lord's servant. But if you're like me, there's times when God throws something like this at you that could be life-threatening, or it could be reputation-threatening, because in society today, if we live out what we believe, people are not going to like it. And so God's coming to us with an invitation of something He can be miraculous in our life. First thing you need to realize, are you God's servant? Know what to do. May it happen as you have said. What to do by faith. She accepted the invitation. God gave her grace and told her how it was going to happen. But He didn't even have to do that. And she, by faith, accepted what was going to happen. Your first villain, Mary, said yes to Christ's invitation. We can say yes to Christ's invitation because he invites... Because ordinary people are invited. We all think, I can't do this because I haven't been to seminary, or I haven't been saved long enough, or I haven't been baptized, or all this kind of stuff. But one, we're all lost if we don't know Christ, the invitation, God so loved the whole world, everyone. But when we know Christ, that invitation, it doesn't matter what we don't have or what we do have. God uses ordinary people. God uses the poor. God uses the nameless. And so that's the poor and the nameless. But now let's go to the righteous invitation. Joseph. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23 says this. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. You can tell everybody, yeah, I've already read the Christmas story 5 times this Sunday. Who cares? You're going to get it down here. But the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and they are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from the sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Okay, so Joseph is a righteous man. That means he tried to do right, he tried to follow God, and you even see it in how he's going to respond to this. So he's engaged, he's working hard, he's doing five jobs or whatever, he's working on that room in his parents' house, which we're all excited about that, right? But he's getting it ready, he's looking forward to that wedding, and then his fiance comes to him and says this, I'm pregnant and God did it. Esta loco en cabeza, translated crazy in the head in Spanish, okay? I'm pregnant and God did it. He's probably thinking, what have they been selling you at the truck stop in the parking lot? Okay, or whatever, you know? Because, you know, what is going on with her? And then notice what he does here. So him being a righteous man, he had the right to drag her out in the street, throw her off the cliff, get the crowd, and stone her. And a divorced woman at that time had no rights and had nothing. And here she would have a baby also. So she's either facing debt or being a debtor and poverty and shame as far as society was concerned at that time. So he's like the right thing. He's going to divorce her secretly to try to protect what's left of her. And that says a lot about him. And then it goes on in 20, but after he considered these things, and we all know this, God does work in dreams. You got to be careful about dreams, because just because you have a dream. I had a dream last night. It was really weird, but I was on Air Force One, the second one, and I was calling Donald Trump to talk to him. I don't know why, but anyway, I don't know why. I had mashed potatoes and gravy. I don't know what that was about. But there's nothing spiritual about that dream. It's just something I ate or whatever. Okay, but I was on Air Force One, the second one. But anyway, we won't get into this, because I got two or three of those probably. But anyway, what we see here is God uses dreams. He talks about that. And what we're realizing now, there's a lot of Muslims that are having dreams of people that they're meeting that tell them about Christ. And so God can use that. And so this is what's happening here. And so, in a dream, he talks to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then he explains something Joseph, being a righteous man, would know. That in the Old Testament and Isaiah and all those, that it was prophesied. And, you know, for Christ to fulfill one of those prophecies is like filling the whole state of Texas with silver dollars and having one silver dollar that you put an X on, and you're facing the back part of the state of Texas, and you throw that silver dollar back there, and then you go around one time and try to find it. The odds of Christ fulfilling one of those prophecies is that impossible. And yet he fulfilled all the prophecies from the Old Testament. And so he is the Messiah. God doesn't just do something, he proves it in what he's doing. And so Joseph knew the prophecies, he knew the Old Testament because he was a righteous man. But he's faced here, my goodness, what a day. Your fiance tells you she's pregnant by God, you go home, and you're I'm divorcing her, but I don't want her to get hurt, so we'll just do it secretly. And then you go to bed, and you have a dream, and God drops that on you. Now, Joseph could have said no. Let's look at his RSVP, you know. And we're not asking for RSVPs on our part because it's come and go, whatever. But Matthew 1, verses 24 through 25. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to the son, and he named him Jesus. That is a power-packed verses here. Why? God told him. He accepted it. And you say, well, what's the big deal that they're married and they're together? Because it's God's son, and he didn't want anybody to be confused here. He followed it to the letter. I wish I could be more like that. God just tells me to do something, and I do it exactly. Amen. The righteous invitation. He woke up and instantly obeyed all the way. Joseph said yes to Christ's invitation. Joseph did the right thing the right way. Your next fill-in. We can say yes to Christ's invitation because it's the right thing to do. You know,
You are free to say no to God, but you're going to go to hell and punishment, and it's not made for you, but you're going to choose it. Well, Pastor, you're horrible. No, I'm not. God's Word says it. And you can roll the dice and take the chance, but my life has been better for it, and I believe that God is true. There's a lot of people in here that do the same. You got a lot more intelligent people in here than me that have realized their need for Christ. And so we need to say yes to that invitation. A lot of people are saying, well, I'm better than that Christian that goes to church, and some of them may be acting better. But how many sins does it take to keep to send you to hell? Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't matter how right you are, the right decision is to say yes to God's invitation. Because it's the right thing. So we have the right, we have the poor, we have the righteous, and now let's look at the outcast. One of us is going to hit one of these places somehow. The shepherd's invitation. Luke 2, verses 8 through 10, and I did a comma, verses 12 through 14. They're loving me back there, but I know we got a lot of section of scripture, but I'm going through a little bit. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all who he favors. So, yes, we have Christmas in winter. This was probably spring because the lambs, the sheep were lambing, having lambs, and the shepherds were out there. Because when those lambs came, sheep are helpless, and they needed to be out there to protect everything from predators. And as the lambs were being born. And so, some of you that are in cattle or been on a farm, and when it's time for cows to be calving, you're kind of keeping an eye on stuff. When we lived on the other end of the farm, that's where my brother-in-law runs the cattle. That's where we called it the nursery, okay, because all the cows that were getting ready to calve would be basically in our front yard there, in a sense. And so, you know, every day you'd be seeing a new calf or something drop. And so, so you kind of need to be out there to make sure they're okay. And sometimes there wouldn't be something okay, or a calf would be off by itself, separated, and we'd let our brother know, because this is a big investment. What was a big investment for them? So they're out there. I want you to understand what's going on here. Now you say, why are they the outcasts? Well, they were the outcasts because, no offense, sheep are smelly. And when you work with livestock, you can get smelly, okay, or whatever. And it wasn't considered a clean thing. You know, they were preparing, they were probably raising the lambs to be sacrificed, which is how God, it's awesome. Here Jesus, the Lamb of God, is being born into the world, and he will be sacrificed for us. And so they were probably raising lambs and sheep to be sacrificed in the temple outside Jerusalem. I love how God connects everything. And so they were, it's like those shepherds stink, or they deal with this stuff, so they're unclean, and so they're outcasts. So guess what they did? They naturally stayed away from people because people didn't want them around. So that's the first thing, where they were in life. And the second thing, they were at the lambing season, where you don't leave your investment or whoever's investment that you're taking care of. I want you to understand, each person that was invited had something greatly to lose. What we're talking about here is you're losing your free will. In a sense, God's not going to make you choose him, but it's the right choice so you can have a relationship with him. And so here they are, and then guess who comes to them? They don't just get an angel. They get a band of angels, and it translates terrified, so they wet themselves. Okay, no, that's not the Greek, but I mean, it's like you're out there in the field, nothing's going on, you're waiting for sheep to lamb, and suddenly this happens. You're telling me you would be terrified? And I love how God encourages them. Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Isn't that awesome? Let's look at their response in Luke 2, 15 through 17, and then comma 20. Then the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. And seeing them, they reported the message that was told to them about this child. And you go to verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they have been told. I want you to put this in perspective. You have a group of individuals that are outcasts in society, and as we get older, it's easier to stay away from people because people are hard, okay? And people are more crazy, it seems, in society, so it's, you know, us four or no more or whatever. And so they're used to nobody wanting to be around them and them not wanting to be around everybody. I want to understand what stirred them. They went way out of their comfort zone and went to, can you imagine Mary and Joseph? They're like, wow, we're in a stable and the baby's in a dog dish and that's unusual to begin with. Okay, and then suddenly these shepherds show up. Shepherds never come to town. At least they're at the stable. That's probably where they come anyway. And they're excited. They're interacting. And 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they'd seen and heard, which was just as they had been told. That's some of you all. You know, when we were in Joplin, it was the real craze to take, and if I insult you, that's okay. But there's all these personality tests. You know, you have the animal one, where you could be a lion, or a beaver, or a Labrador, or some kind of hybrid mix, okay? And what was really big there was the color code. Like, white is peaceful, I'm majorly a blue, red is domineering, and all this kind of stuff. And so everybody and their grandma was literally taking these tests and finding out what their personality is, which none of those are bad. But then basically the reds, who are the boss hogs, were like, well, I'm red, and I know we're in church, but you're just going to have to deal with it. That's a load of stuff, okay? Because of the fact of this, just because you know your personality, maybe the Holy Spirit in obedience to God might say, yeah, you're this way, but why don't you obey and go the way I tell you through the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what the shepherds did. Everything in them said, stay away from people. And God, and they met God and they went and he couldn't get them to shut up. So this stuff of, I'm just this way, that's my personality, is a load of junk. When you obey God's invitation and you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever you got going on this Christmas season, you need to jump out of that comfort zone and obey God and accept His invitation to, yeah, they're rough and they're hard, but I'm going to love them. Yeah, they're rough and they're hard, but I'm going to point to Jesus. Yeah, they're rough and they're hard, or I'm this way, but Jesus, help me, I'm going to talk to them. Your next point is this, that we can obey and say yes to the invitation because it is for all, even the outcast is invited. Some of you may feel like that today. We talked about last week, you're insulting God when you're saying whatever you've done is too much for him to save you. You're saying God's a liar. And so, even the outcast is invited. That means to Christians that there's some people, yeah, they're kind of scary. And there's some people, yeah, you need to have your radar going. But then you still need to reach out to them. Many are seeking for the invitation. Let's look at the seekers. And we got really fancy in the 80s being seeker sensitive. And that's not a good thing too. Yes, we need to be sensitive to people that are seeking. But we hear the wise men here in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 8. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Okay, remember, after Jesus was born, okay? So you people that are putting your wise men in your nativity, you need to move them over to another table. You'll see at our house, the wise men are another table. That's Epiphany. And we'll do a king's cake in about January, okay? I'm just telling you that if you're going to go there, okay, let's do that. Because Jesus was probably 2 years old when the wise men visited him, and he was in the house. All right, there you go. Pop that bubble, didn't we? Okay, so after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw the star at the rising and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them, where the Messiah will be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, by no means least among the rulers of Judea, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, report back to me so I can go and worship him. I want you to understand about these wise men. There's been some really good Christmas movies that portray the wise men, and I think the Nativity is one of them that really shows the wise men. And I want us to understand, these wise men were not from Judea. They were not, they could be Jewish ancestry, but when we see about Daniel and we see about the Jews in exile, they had heard these prophecies about the star and stuff, and they had followed it. And it could have been a long time they were searching. Obviously, because Jesus is now in a house and probably 2 years old. Yeah, I'm pushing that one, okay? But you see what I'm saying? They were seeking. They were searching. Guys, I want you to understand, everybody you meet has a God-shaped heart that only God can fill, and they're trying to stuff everything else into it. They're seeking. They're seeking. We all have the same problems. There's only one answer. They're seeking peace. They're seeking love. They're seeking acceptance. But there's only one answer. And I need you to understand, anybody that you meet out there is seeking. Some have found Christ, but most of them are seeking. And the wise men were concertedly seeking. So the wise men looked for the invitation. See, a lot of you, there's some things that's like, boy, I hope we get invited this year. That was good, or whatever. Okay? They desired the invitation to worship, to be a part, and they wanted to know the specifics. You know, Luke came out to the house the other day, and wherever the GPS took him five, eight. I was supposed to be there 30 minutes, and he was there 2 hours later. Okay, and then I had to go drive some more with him. It took me this way. It took me that way. So your little map that you got is the most direct way that I would take. Okay, that's just me. Okay, to our house. Okay, but you know, you want to know the specifics. You want to know the address so you can enter it into your GPS or your phone. And here, men won't listen for directions, but they'll listen to a woman on their phone give them directions. So, okay, whatever that is. But you want to know the specifics. They wanted to know. They had this prophecy, and they wanted to know. Notice the foolish. King Herod feared because this prophecy of a king. Jerusalem was disturbed. I don't go into the details of why the whole city was disturbed, but the disturbance could also be the fact, wow, this could be a game changer. This is the Messiah to free us all. They had two invitations. One, they were seeking God. There are so many people that are seeking God, and that general revelation says there's an intelligence, there's a God. And Christian, what we talked about is you have the words of life and death, and God tells you to go and tell them specifically, and especially at Christmas, this is what it's about. They're seeking. They want to know. They've got the same problems. And Christians, you have the answer, and you have the invitation in your hand. So they wanted to know all this. The foolish, they didn't have faith. They just wanted the facts. And basically, Herod wanted the facts to kill Christ, to kill God out of his life. Let's look at their response in Matthew 2, verses 9 and 12. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there was the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home country by another route. They chose to go. They chose to worship. They understood each one of those gifts represented about Christ, his kingship, his death, and his godhood. Each one of those gifts. So they searched and they finally found it. They went in. They first went, and then they go inside the house and they worship and they give. And the last thing is they change their direction. Shouldn't that be what happens when we accept the invitation of Christ as Savior and we accept His invitation every day to follow Him? Is that we go wherever He wants us to go. And when we go, we're worshiping by our actions and we give of ourselves. And we change our directions, which means repent. Turn around. Go God's way. Your last villain, wise men, found God's invitation and accepted it, and it changed their lives. Obeying the invitation means you're wise to accept it. I don't know where you're at today. I feel most of us are Christians, but a lot of us are saying no of I got to go deliver that. We all have that list of that invitation you need to send, but you're not really excited if they accept it. I'm not talking about the church thing, okay? But you see what I'm saying? But a lot of us as Christians are like that. We're like, God tells me to go. God's given me an opportunity. And we're not extending the invitation. You just got to hand it to them. They've got to choose whether they're going to accept it. That's between them and God. All this is in all had this in common. All were asked, all said yes, and all invited others. And Christmas invitation, what we see here, Christmas is the time for invitation. And lastly, the greatest invitation that you need to think about is Matthew 22, verses 8 through 14. Jesus is doing another parable here. And then he told his servants, the banquet is ready for those who are invited are not worthy. Go to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet. So those servants went out on the roads and gathered everyone they found, both good and evil. The wedding banquet was filled with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. And so he said to him, Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. And then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, I'll be really careful about it. God knows who's going to choose him or not. His sovereignty. I want us to understand, notice who was invited to the banquet. It was both the good and the evil. What does that say? I can never be good enough. And if you've been bad, you can never be bad enough without that. You can't accept God's grace. So you say, well, why was this one person kicked out? Because, guys, when you accept Christ, and you may need to accept that invitation today, you receive his righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so what we're seeing here is someone that was invited that didn't accept, that may have showed up, but they didn't accept what Christ was giving. Christ came to give himself to live a life we couldn't, to die a death that we couldn't, because it was both physical and spiritual, and to raise from the dead so we can have life. If you have not accepted that invitation, we're going to have a time of invitation in a moment. You need to come and do that. But I am more convinced today, I'm pushing the Christmas thing, because Christmas is a time that you could, it's not like you're going to do just as I am or anything, but you need to present the Christmas story somehow and say, this has been the greatest thing in my life and what I've accepted. I'm no good, and Christ gave me this, and you can have that. Because this is a time where people are trying to make everything else out of Christmas. And it's about the greatest invitation, the greatest gift, Jesus Christ coming to die and to raise from the dead for our sins. As we stand to our feet, I ask the question today, have you said yes to Christ's invitation to be saved? Have you said yes to whatever he's telling you to do right now, Christians? You need to come and pray. You need to receive Christ. You need to follow in obedience. Maybe you're Mary and it's like, I'm poor in this. Or maybe you're Joseph. I've done the right thing, but I still need to obey. Maybe you feel like you're an outcast. There's no outcast here. Or maybe you're seeking. The invitation is for everyone. Say yes and leave your yes on the table. Lord, whatever we need to do today, may we be obedient to you. In your name, Jesus.